Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, welcome to an all-new So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your pal Ryan, and this is your Wednesday episode. How the heck are you doing? You made it halfway through the week. You can coast from this point on, literally. Just call it in Thursday and Friday. Show up to work, but don't do any. You know, put the AirPod in your ear, listen to podcasts, listen to your music, and just float through the rest of the week. And then you're at the weekend. Boom! Folks, let me be honest with you. I am dealing with some anger right now because I watched an all new Vanderpump Rules, which I'll be doing a full recap of on Thursday. But I am angry. I feel like I'm about to turn into the Hulk if the Hulk just got angry when he watched reality television shows. I don't know, man. You know, I like Lala. I do. I like her. But then she says shit, and I'm like, why? Why? If you watch this week's episode, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But we'll get into all of that. Also, we got the Vanderpump Rules mid-season trailer this morning. It looks pretty good. It just looks like such a mess. It just feels like a Looney Tunes cartoon. You know, and you know, Daffy Duck is just getting pummeled again and again, and more bricks keeps falling on Daffy Duck's head, and everybody's laughing, but at the same time, you're like, oh, that poor Daffy Duck. Like, the whole show is just like one big Daffy Duck. It's just constant misery. I can't wait for this season to be over and for all of it to have aired so we can get a little more breathing room. Outside of Scandoval, like, we can go on to just the normal mess that these people are. But we'll talk about all that. I mean, I should just do the recap right now, but I've got, no, don't do it, Ryan. Don't do it. It's too crazy. I'm just frustrated. It is funny. The conversation, like I predicted, goes just right to Ariana not wanting to film with them instead of fucking Tom Sandoval. Tom is almost made out to look like a hero because he shows up to film. People act like he's doing this for free out of the kindness of his own heart, that this is like something noble. That's how mushy people's brains turn when they're on reality TV. And by the way, folks, let's take some personal responsibility. Our brains are mush now, too. Our brains are complete mush. If your friend behaved like this away from a reality show camera, you would potentially shake the shit out of them and go, what are you doing? Are you insane? Do not go and hang out with this person. I don't care if your other friends are hanging out with this person. Don't put yourself in that position. I do understand that Ariana's on a reality television show, but I also point out that she went into this season. I said this time and time again. I said at the end of last season, she's already made it clear that she is not filming with him. Finally, we have somebody that stands by their word. We're not used to seeing that on reality television, are we? Because it truly is a bunch of people that flip-flop, and they don't do it out of some like noble cause. And also, if people are doing these kind of things for the show, like, we've got to do it because we're making a show. Let's have that honest conversation on camera. Listen, if you see the mid-season trailer at the very end, Sheena rightfully asked Tom, well, I mean, do you miss me as a real friend or do you miss me for the show? And that's such an honest question. And that's why I feel like all of these people are going to need therapy for a lifetime, because everybody's motive is questioned. Everybody's motives are questioned. In fact, I said this last week, they just need to do the Traitors Vanderpump Rules. Just do a whole season of Vanderpump Rules cast members on the next season of the Traitors. Nobody else except for Vanderpump Rules cast members. And these people are so used to not trusting each other that it almost blows me away when they act like they do. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it almost blows me away because I'm like, hey, did you forget seasons 1 through 10? Speaking of Vanderpump Rules, I did watch the season premiere of a little show called The Valley. I watched the first episode of The Valley starring Jax Taylor, Brittany Couchy, and Kristen Doty, and Janet Elizabeth, Jason Caperna, and two new couples that I have not memorized their names yet. Listen, it's, you know, it's one episode. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not, I might have to cover it. It's not bad. There's all the elements there that, I mean, guys, I wish I could come on here and go, holy moly. I mean, we'll still find ways to shit on it because that's what we do nowadays. But having said all of that, I mean, even the elements already in the first episode, you feel a white burning hot rage towards Jax Taylor. And to me, that's what he does best. Like when I'm feeling white hot rage, I'm like, oh man, this is good. This is, it's classic Jax. Holy, Jax doing what he does best. Give Jax the ball. Like him pretending he knows it all gets people in such a tizzy. And like, I don't think it's performance art. I don't think he's doing it on purpose. I think he genuinely is acting like that because that's how he feels. But there is something so hypocritical about it, which, by the way, if you are hypocritical, you think about it in your own life. If you have been called a giant hypocrite more than, let's say, 30 times in your life, you might be good for reality television. In fact, I don't even have any show I'm casting, but maybe I should just say, hey, send in your resumes and I'll put a show together around you. So I watched that today. I think I'll be able to talk about it. I think I'll be able to talk about it next week or the week after. I wouldn't have even mentioned it if I didn't like it. If I didn't like it, you wouldn't hear from me today that I watched it. I would have just said, wow, had a bad day, you guys. Didn't do a lot of anything. Okay, so anyways, that'll be all. I'll talk about the Valley trailer and the Vanderpump Rules midseason trailer on top of the Vanderpump Rules recap for Thursday's episode. Friday, we got Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Remember, tonight, we have the third and final, thank you God, part 3 of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. We finally get to have Kyle ask the tough questions like, why don't you share more? And who is Morgan Wade to you? Now, this is something that's been enraging me a lot lately, too. And I've talked about this multiple times. Buying Beverly Hills season 2, Mauricio Imansky's show, comes back on the air on Netflix, I believe, in a week and a half, which is very interesting timing. Like they wait until Beverly Hills gets finished and then they fire up the second season over on Netflix. Now, I already raged that we had a very honest conversation with Mauricio and his daughters about Kyle and his, you know, marriage crumbling. And it was on Netflix. And I got pissed because I was like, why isn't this conversation happening on Bravo? That's my home team. Well, we got another clip today where Mauricio is sharing with other members of the agency the fallout that originally happened when he left Hilton and Highland, Rick Hilton's real estate company, and brought up that drama on the show. And I'm like, fucking A, get your own storylines. Like, this is Beverly Hills storylines. I know it, Mauricio, just da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, if he starts talking about, like, fucking Sutton's esophagus or something, I'm going to be so upset. Like, if he starts talking about, like, you know, well, then Kyle allegedly stole Kim's goddamn house. Like, if he starts doing Beverly Hills storylines, I'm going to be livid. Anyways, that happened, but then Miss Paris Hilton, that's hot. Miss Paris Hilton, she came out on an Instagram comment and in regards to this trailer that was released today and said, my father is a consummate gentleman and has always taken the higher road. He would never speak negatively about his family, especially in the press. Frankly, we are all sick of him using the Hilton name every chance he gets to plug his lame show. It is enough already. So that is Paris giving us a, it's not hot. Nah. I wish it had a sound button for that. It's hot. No. So Mauricio is saying, like they're saying, Mauricio, keep our name out of your mouth. And this is where when relationships break up, you always like, it's always that first part. you know, especially with celebrities where they're like, we respect each other. We love each other. We're going to remain committed as friends. And then that part leaves. And then usually the second part is family members going, that girl or guy is a complete douchebag. I hate them with everything. And then the third part is usually the couple that were once a couple completely turning on each other in the press. So that is where we're up to right now is Kyle Richards. Potentially, if you study pop culture, you know that third part is coming. That third part is right around the corner, folks. You know it, and I know it, and I'm just waiting for it. And then Morgan Wade will have to like, I hate Mo too. Mauricio can suck my dick. Sorry. Oh, goodness. I'm so lame. Real Housewives of Orange County, they are now, I believe, in their third week of filming. I've already seen Tamara on a pool table and the top of a bar. So it seems like she's doing what she does. We'll see how the Alexis Bellino of it all plays out. I saw Alexis and John Jansen. I saw them at that DirecTV Oscar viewing party on Sunday. And I just still ain't down with it. I just still think not even the optics of it, but just if you take away even the reality show part of it, just how hurtful that is in so many ways. And then to see Tamara welcoming Alexis Bellino with open arms, and she'll talk a good game about why this is good and why blah, 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 blah. By the way, somebody like Tamara would be great on Vanderpump Rules. Like Tamara and Lala to me are very close in certain ways. I think the number one thing for them is business and the show. I think friendships come secondary. Like I think friendships mean something when somebody is on the rise. But I think at the end of the day, the show is their number one love. I think that more of Tamara than I do Lala, but I can see similarities. I can see that. And also, I think their actual personal lives are shielded from the show in some ways. Not in a Kyle Richards sort of way, but in a way. Does that make sense? So you got Orange County filming again. And then tonight also, I'm skipping around here. Tonight, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Love is Blind Season 6 reunion hosted by Nick and Vanessa Lachey. We will finally get the answers to some of our burning questions like, oh my God, really? Jimmy, you're still with Chelsea? Are you kidding me? What up with that? So I'm excited to see this. Reunions are either hit or miss across the board. Housewives, Love is Blind, whatever. But sometimes when you really like a season, it can be a nice dessert, a nice, you know, after dinner drink based on what that season meant to you. So I'm really excited for that. I was kind of hoping that they would release it at midnight tonight, but they are not. So that is tomorrow at 6 p.m. Make sure you set your DVRs because we have Beverly Hills playing as well. Also, tomorrow morning, I will be on Jeff Lewis Extended, Channel 102 Radio Andy on Sirius XM. I will be hosting that with the one and only Carney Wilson. Are you kidding me? I cannot wait for that. So if you have Sirius, tune in tomorrow, Channel 102. That's going to be at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Jeff does his show at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and then the extended part starts at 10 a.m. And usually Jeff and Shane will be there for the first 10 or 15 minutes. Hopefully he'll have time to pop in tomorrow. I know last week when I was on with Jamie Kennedy, he was in New York, so couldn't do that. So hopefully he will, but tune in. Thank you to all the chumps out there supporting and listening. It really does mean a lot. I don't really get to be a part of a lot of groups, so it's exciting. And you know, like I talk to people on this podcast, but I do so much solo stuff that it is really nice to go to a place where you're around other people and there's kind of a group of people and everybody's been real nice to me. So so please tune in. Hopefully I'll get to go back next week. You never know, right? It's one of those things that it's like cool if it happens, and if it doesn't, we're good too. But I really like being over there.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Psst. Hey. I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
So, that's it. How are you guys? You guys are good? I don't think I got to ask that at the beginning, but I hope you're good. Listen, today we have a great guest. He's a stand-up comic. His new comedy special is being released directly to YouTube. We talk all about that, but also... He is a straight dude, and his wife, I asked him to watch Summer House this past week and Vanderpump Rules last week. And his wife watches all of these shows as well. His wife's amazing. I know her a little bit, and she's fantastic. But he is a stand-up comic, and he watches some of these shows with his wife. But I asked him to watch these two in particular just to get some unfiltered thoughts. And this is what I find really... You'll hear a point where I start laughing because it's such a great perspective. We're in deep undercover, you guys. We're in too deep. We've lost so much perspective on this. And by no means does he say Tom Sandoval's a great person, because that's just not the case right now. But he provides a fresh perspective that reminds me of why we actually watch these shows. And you guys might be, when he talks about it, be like, oh yeah, that's it, of course. But for me, I needed to hear it. Like, I think we did this interview on Friday of last week, and I just finished, like, you know, because Wednesday and Thursdays are my toughest days in terms of workload. And I know that sounds so silly because I'm making fart jokes about Vanderpump Rules, but it really, like, there's so much time that goes into it. And I'll just be pulling my hair out by the end of those days, running on very little sleep. So it's great to get a different perspective of somebody that's like, yeah, man, that's what this is. But we also end up talking about pro wrestling at a certain point. The conversation kind of goes all over, but I thought he was great. He's a stand-up comic, like I said. You can find all his material on YouTube. He's making a big push on his YouTube channel, but this dude has been everywhere. He had a stand-up special on Paramount+. He's written for so many amazing shows. He's doing a comedy festival in Austin with, like, all these insanely good comedians, but he also is just, like, a really nice guy, and he was on the road. He's opening up for stand-up comic Dan Soder. If you know him, he's huge. And I always find that life of the life of the stand-up, you know, the vagabond almost, like going town to town, you know, selling your jokes on stage. There was something as a kid that I always just found so fascinating about that. And the reality of that, it's not like doing podcasts, but that same thing of you're grinding it out, you know, show after show. You're trying to get your at-bats. You're trying to get better. You're trying to get your 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours. Remember that concept Malcolm Gladwell put out there like over a decade ago in one of his books? Was it called Outliers? Saying that you had to have 10,000 hours to be considered an expert in your field. Like the Beatles, he uses an example. They would play like pretty much 18 hours a day at this place called the Cavern Club, right? The Cavern Club. Yeah. The Cavern Club in, overseas in this tiny little venue. And they would like be that house band, and they would play but it gave them a way to build up those 10,000 hours to get so good, to get undeniable. But it takes 10,000 hours. Think about the thing that you love the most in this world, and have you done it for 10,000 hours? Because I was even trying to think about podcasting. I was like, oh, I think I knocked 10,000 hours out in like a couple weeks. But actually, the reality of that is it's a lot of time, 10,000 hours. Like, think about that. But I always think about that in terms of stand-ups or any kind of artistic endeavor or any endeavor in life. You have to put so much time in to get to a point that you can be in control, that you can have a mastery of something. And I don't know. I've always thought about that in terms of stand-up too. I just don't get with stand-ups. Like, listen, I'll get into like certain conversations on, I just posted something tonight on Instagram about Ariana and Lala not really, Lala being weird with her, and then already people are up in the comments. And I don't usually argue back or anything like that. But sometimes I'll be so clear on how I feel about it that you can't help but do it, you know? But then sometimes you're like, oh, it's such a bad vibe. And you're just putting negativity out on top of negativity. And, you know, sometimes that can be a vortex. And, you know, that will always leave me feeling a little weird at the end of the night, just energy wise. And I know I sound like hippy dippy when I say that, but I always think about that in terms of stand-up. Like if you bomb at a stand-up, like these people, I always think about the men and women that do stand-up, like they've got to be, they've got to be made of steel sometimes. I mean, I've had so many people say bad things about me now over the years, and it still hurts. But like on stage, to have it be so in your face, to feel that you don't have the crowd, you know, like when I used to do theater or something, like you would be able to feel if the crowd was with you or if your line got the laugh it was supposed to get. And stand-up comedy, you know, just being in the audience, you get that rhythm of this is where that laugh is. And then sometimes if you're not feeling it, you don't. And you can see how that affects the performer. You know, it either emboldens them or it frightens them and they run and cower or they don't give a shit. Larry David, when he used to be a stand-up in New York, he got so ballsy because his material wasn't for everybody. And when I say that, especially audiences, like the other stand-ups allegedly loved Larry, but the audiences didn't. And I remember there's one thing he came out, just literally looked at the audience and was like, you know what? I'm good. And just walked back off, you know, just looked at him and was like, nah, this isn't the crowd for me. But to be that confident in yourself, your own humor and how you feel, not many people are like that. Oh my God, you guys, I'll tell you this one last story just because I have you here and this interview is only an hour. So we're good on time. Is that I had a friend, how many years ago was it now? Yeah, God, I have no concept of time. And that pandemic really screwed everything up because I don't even sometimes count the pandemic. But I think it's got to be like 10 or 12 years ago. My friend dated Larry David for a little bit of time. And she knew that I loved Larry David. And I remember getting to meet Larry David for the first time. And it was at this party, you know, our acting class was there, a bunch of other people. And, you know, it's Larry David. Like, so, you know, she brings him out and, you know, he's talking to everybody, but he's Larry, you know, and I was saying something about a situation that I had been really nervous about or something. And I think he's like, why, who cares? Like, it was like a, why, who cares? And I'm like, well, you got to understand this. Yeah. But who cares? Like, I think it was like that. And it was great because it's Larry David. So you're like, oh my God, this is classic Larry. Like this poor guy probably goes through life having everybody think he's just doing bits because they're so used to seeing him on TV or, you know, hearing his words on Seinfeld. But what's so great was that he was talking to all of us. And then at a certain point, he just left and he went in the front room and turned on the Lakers game by himself in the middle of a party and just watched the Lakers game. And it wasn't that he was like, I mean, I'm sure he was absolutely hating being there in the conversation, but he wasn't like a dick about it. But it was just so great because think about in your lives, would you ever have the confidence to actually, in the middle of something that you were invited to, that you, a stranger's house, go, you know what, I'm good on this, and go find a remote, turn on the TV, and just sit there watching a game? Do you know how much I long for that sort of confidence? Do you know how amazing that would be? And the thing is, if anybody had stopped Larry, he honestly looked like he did not give a fuck. Even if you told him, hey, Larry, it's rude. I don't care. What the fuck? I'm not going to see these people again. Who fucking cares? I always just remember that. And I laugh so much thinking about it. Those people that are so unapologetically themselves. I always talk about that way with like Lisa Barlow. I even talked that way about Sheena last week because God love her. She's just so herself. Like she's so herself that we still beat her up all the time. And I think for good reason sometimes, but she still is undeniably herself. And I think sometimes, you know, they might be aware of it, they might not, but you know, there is some credit that should be given for people that do show up and they just are authentically themselves instead of being some fake phony person that you write off immediately. Anyways, these are just some Tuesday night thoughts. Nothing big, folks. Okay, but let's get to our guest, Dan St. Germain. All his information is the show notes. We talk about him. I hope you like him. This is my first time talking to him, but it was just great to get a different perspective. And I hope this takes you through your Wednesday. And like I said, Thursday, we're coming back, baby, strong. Vanderpump Rules Thursday. Let's get it. And then Friday, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Also, I did, like I said, an hour and 40 minute Traders episode on the Patreon this weekend. I also did a Summer House episode exclusively on Patreon. And I'm going to be doing a Q&A episode on Patreon this week as well. So if you want more, patreon.com/sobadit'sgood. Oh, okay, I love you so much. Oh, wasn't it cool to hear Kate Chastain today? If you liked it, go tell her you liked it. I want to make sure she felt loved. So anyways, that's it, you guys. Here he is, Dan St. Germain. Bye! Today, I am so thrilled to be able to finally talk to this person. I've been following him for a very long time. I love stand-up comedy, and this dude is on the road. He is killing it and has been forever. He has a new comedy special that comes out on the 12th on YouTube. It is called Dance Fatty Dance. You have seen this dude on Jimmy Fallon. He's written for so many comedy specials as well as his own. One of those you can find on Paramount Plus right now, but I am directing everybody to his YouTube channel. I will put all that information in the show notes and his Instagram, which you can find everything. I have given this man a hard duty in the sense that I made him watch Vanderpump Rules and Summer House this week. So already he's going to hate me going into this thing. But we're going to talk about everything is special and all of those crappy, horrible shows that we're watching. The one, the only Dan St. Germain. Welcome to
Thank you. Yes. Both my half hour special and my new special will be on YouTube March 12th. At 8 p.m., but then it'll just be on YouTube. So March 13th on, download it, watch it. It's free, folks. Check it out.
It's free. That's the best thing that you can possibly hear is free. You do not have to even sign up for a streaming service. You recorded this live in Brooklyn, right?
Recorded in Brooklyn, Old Man Hustle. The only thing I asked is everyone says free, just follow me on Instagram, folks. All that, you know, like that's why I called the special Dance Fatty Dance, because that's what the entertainment business has become.
Yeah.
In 2024, where you're just like, dance, fatty, dance. Come on, sing for your supper.
Kind of right. I mean, like, that's what I was saying. Like, what's it like to be a stand-up comedian in the year 2024 when you now have to deal with social media and all of that stuff instead of just going out there and being able to tell your jokes?
It's a pain in the ass. Like all today, you know, all today, I just felt like I was just retrofitting little clips for Instagram that I'm going to be releasing in the next couple weeks. And, you know, like I'm laughing when I'm watching Summer House and I'm laughing when like Lindsay's like, I made the jump to professional influencer, but I'm kind of like, I'm not that far off from what she's doing. Like I'm at this point, she's probably got it more figured out than I do.
Oh, so, they totally have it more figured. Like, that's the thing, too, is that going back and then watching or listening to your old material, that can sometimes be really painful to find out what the thing you think actually could get passed around is.
Yes. At this point, I'll take anything. I'll take whatever.
Like, that's why he's here, folks. He's even here. That's how desperate it's become.
I don't have any videos of blackface, but if you want to put blackface on me and float it around just so I get more followers, I'll take it, folks. That's how desperate I am in this business. I'm excited. This is the first time, you know, I've done a lot of podcasts, but I've never talked about Bravo. And Bravo is kind of a new thing for me because, you know, me and my wife will be 5 years in October, but she kind of got me hooked. You know, like we both have our two trash centers, which for her is reality TV and for me is professional wrestling. I have not been able to hook her on professional wrestling. I have been able to hook her on horror movies, but she has totally hooked me on Bravo shows. So like
that's how I know you a little bit is through your wife. Which, yeah. By the way, in your stand-up special, you kind of relate her to potentially sleeping with Danny DeVito at a certain point.
Well, she's way hotter than Danny DeVito, but although, you know, I'm not going to throw Danny DeVito under the bus. I'm sure he's tender. my wife and I, she got me hooked on all these shows. I do think, you know, we're not talking about it, but like Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, maybe one of the, like, besides Succession, the best show of the last 5 years, just as far as...
Yeah.
Crazy shit that's happened on it. But now I'm caught up on Summer House. I'm caught up on Vanderpump Rules. I'm ready to talk. I think I'm more into Vanderpump Rules than my wife at this point. That's how.
Well, I think probably because your wife has been into it from the beginning and it's like almost being at war for like 11, like we're 11 seasons into this thing. So we are just dragging at this point. So we need new young blood like yourself to come in and remind us why we should like this show.
your guys' relationship to Sandoval is so different than mine. Like, you guys are like disappointed in him. I just think he's like a fun Zoolander villain. You know what I mean? Like, when I see him, I'm just like, this guy's hilarious. This is like one of the best characters that I've seen. Like, he's like, he has no accountabilities, and it's the greatest, funniest thing to watch, because he's like the type of guy who, like, he'll kill somebody while drunk driving and be like, well, he didn't blame it on his Headspace app that he was listening to in the car, you know, like, he's that kind of guy.
I was working on my mental health at the time.
Working on my mental health, guys, you know, and it's the greatest. I mean, I love it, man. I love Sandoval. I think he's becoming... You know, he's going to become, like, in the lexicon of celebrity, he's going to join, like, Charo and Gary Coleman, like, these weird, like, you know, like, Beetlejuice waiting room type celebrities.
Yeah, like, and Hollywood Square. Like, we need Hollywood Squares to come back on again, you know?
He should be part of it, because, you know, eventually people will get sick of, you know, they already are. They're getting sick of Ariana because, like, you know, you can only compliment somebody for so long before you get sick of it. But, like, he's just going to be, like, a goof and, like... Kim comparing himself to George Floyd. I mean, this guy's, I mean, if you're working
it's
for
next
a
level
character, it's just like new every soundbite. There's something new and amazing about this. Like he can't keep tripping over his own dick. Can we curse on this?
Oh my God. Fuck. Yes. Yes. No, so
he just trips over his own dick constantly. And I just know that. I just know him from, I started watching after the final episode of last season. So the cheating. So that's all I know, you know? So like, I love this version of Sandoval. Like,
okay. So this has always been him. It's just that we thought he had the purest of intentions and we thought he was that lovable loon, but we never thought he was potentially, I don't want to say a predator, but that he was going to cheat on this 9-year relationship.
Yeah, he's just a cheat. He's a bimbo. Yeah. He's a bimbo cheat.
He's the himbo, but first off, they're in Tahoe right now. Dan, you're on the road right now with your stand-up. Do you journal on the road? Do you wake up and journal your thoughts?
No. People tell me I should. I did journal a little this year. I mean, this is really not for this podcast, but my mom passed away, so I journaled a little bit about that.
Mine did too, dude.
Yeah, Dead Mom
Bros. Yeah, Dead Mom's Club. Yeah.
Dead Mom Bros, bro. So I do that. I was doing that for a little bit, but for the most part, everything I write is like either for a comedy or for a script I'm writing. And like, and if I'm not doing that, I'm like listening to a book on tape. And mostly I'm watching trash. I'm watching some form of trash, whether it's wrestling or Bravo or like, you know what I have bookmarked tonight? Like it's like this horror movie where a plane crashes into the ocean and then the shark movie starts. So like, you know, like it's, I'm going to watch that for sure.
Wait. Well, Dan, where did you, was that like something you were like scrolling on Netflix and found? Did you read about this?
4 months ago, and I think it's on Amazon now. I can't even get I don't have the name of it, but it literally, the movie is, it's a 747 that crashes into the ocean, and then that's when the shark starts attacking. It's perfect. It's just, I just love shark movies. They haven't made a good one since Jaws, but I still keep watching them.
Oh my, well, speaking of that, I just watched a funny, horrible horror movie a couple weeks ago, Thanksgiving, by Eli Roth.
Oh, that was fun. That? Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was
It was fun. Yeah. Okay, so Sandoval, though, is journaling in this, and I was just thinking how funny it is that when you close up of this journal, which I'm a weirdo and I did, it's literally just like, went to the airport today. Sheena said hi to me. I was very tired, and it was very, like, it's very matter-of-fact journaling, like, no big, like, deeper revelations of, like, your emotional spirit. It's just, like, went to the bathroom, very tired still. Yeah, I mean, and
this wasn't going to be, like, E.E. Cummings, you know what I mean? Or, like oh, that's poetry.
Well, certain journalists, like certain Jack journal Carol people. Exactly. Like, yeah, no,
chronicling his journey. No, that's not. That's this man, fourth grade reading level. Let's be honest.
Truly. Well, I was also thinking this is potentially the first time he's ever journaled because he thought it would look good on camera. I was like, this could be the first page in his journal, or he could be trying to capitalize off Scandoval and selling his journal entries of during this time. But after reading that journal entry, it'd be a very small pamphlet of a book, I think.
Yeah, it would be like one of those brochures you get at Disney World, like previewing, you know, like Pirates of the Caribbean ride or something, like very small. I for one would buy it. You know, it's funny. you know, this is not a reality show, but on Sons of Anarchy, the one thing I never, you know, I wasn't that into it, but the one thing that was so funny is that Jax, the main character, like, would keep reading from his dad's memoir throughout like 11 seasons. And it looked like it was 120 pages. And he was still going through it for the ninth season. And he was like,
he was saying, well, no, he was sounding the words out. He was like sounding like he was learning to read throughout the series.
Yeah, this isn't a Crime and Punishment. You don't need to like go back and find the meaning in it.
See, Dan, has your wife ever tried to get you to go back and watch earlier seasons? Because Vanderpump Rules had a Jax character as well, who was a big cheater, and now he's coming back to reality television in a couple weeks on a show called The Valley that airs right after Vanderpump Rules. Yes. Jax Taylor.
Yeah, I saw, you know, I watched Jax on Villain House. I watched
House of Villains, yeah.
I dug House of Villains. That was one of our shows, too. So,
who else do you, we have like in this episode, Sheena, it's like a lot of pressure on her to rekindle her friendship with Sandoval. But the thing is, it almost seems like they were in a 9-year relationship because she is crying so hard. What is your take on the Sheena Sandoval relationship?
My question when I was watching, I was like, did they fuck, like, to my wife the whole time? And my wife's like, no, they never fucked. But this show only gets good when you reveal that someone's been fucking for 3 years. So maybe that'll be the reveal, is that like they've been, no, I don't think they have been fucking, but I thought for sure that they had fucked. I mean, Sheena for me, like, you know, like there's like a car wreck moment, two episodes where she said like, we're going to have a good time. She was like doing that recording.
Yeah.
It was like douche chills, like winter is coming chills. Like when she said that, I just think it's like, you know, like we got to the crux of it on this episode. Right. Cause she's like, we're like, why is she defending this guy? And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah. And then one day I woke up and like, he gave me $5,000. And I was like, okay. Yeah. So just say that's the, like, if somebody gave me $5,000, like if Pol Pot gave me $5,000, I'd be like, look, I know he has his problem.
he's all right. Yeah.
$5,000. Yeah.
No, it is funny that she reveals that, but I was like, he did that a while back. Like, why didn't you make up with him months ago? Why did you save it for these moments? And it is funny. It's like, also, if you're that conflicted, give the money back. You just bought a new house. You have the money to give him back. But it is interesting that actually plays a part. And you're then mingling in with scenes, like you said earlier, with Ariana and Katie opening this sandwich shop, but it doesn't have the same oomph at all, because Ariana's out there just trying to live her life and stay away from the dude that cheated on her for a long time.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think that I also think they're in this weird position. Like, we do forget this is only 4 months since the cheating scandal. They like the film that's like 4 months after.
It was, right? It was 3 months after the cheating scandal broke.
I think they're gonna run into problems later in the season, because eventually, like, Ariana is clearly, she got a lot of money from this. She like clearly already is dating up. She like met another guy who's better. And like all she's holding on to is like the anger for him. Like, there's no like she still loves him. There's no like I have any fondness for this guy. So eventually, like, that's gonna like kind of have to fade, right? And then what's the show gonna be about? Then we see, oh, Sheena and James, I guess that's his name. No, not James, the friend, whatever.
Tom Schwartz, Tom Sandoval, yeah, DJ
Tom
James.
Schwartz and Sheena made out, or like they hinted.
Yeah, that's what we find out later in the season, that allegedly Sheena made out with Schwartz in Vegas, potentially.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Yeah, which I think that, like, because I eventually, like, this is just going to become Ariana, you know, making a ton of money off doing Chicago everywhere. And, you know, Sandoval just, like, ironically playing at these, like, you know, black box theaters all over West Hollywood. And, you know, just gay guys, like, ironically liking him, not, like, really liking him, just, like, yeah. You know, like, just there because they're part of a moment, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes.
But that's why it's more fun to watch messes than it is somebody that actually is trying to draw boundaries in their life like Ariana. I think there's a world in which Ariana doesn't even come back next season because why, you know, it's like, why, like, she doesn't want to be friends with her ex. Like, she's made that really clear. And I don't think I see a world in which she integrates herself back into this friend group. Like in Tahoe, like, they're all like prisoners of this. It's funny. Like, they're all forced to be friends with each other. And Sheena's husband, Brock, is even like, you know, they're arguing about like press releases and PR agents. And I'm like, this is hysterical that they're talking about leaking stories to the press. Like two dudes in Tahoe talking about you leaked this story. No, you leaked this story. I thought that was great.
Didn't Brock abandon his first family in Australia? Was that a thing too? Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. you're allowed to cuss. You're not allowed to bring. He did. And that's the thing. Like, he did. Like, and like
for him, he's like giving Sandoval the news. And I'm like the business. And I'm like, don't you have like a family in Melbourne or something?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's why it's like, and I think like, finally, I think they're on the, like the good, like he's finally doing the child support payments, but I don't think he's seen them still yet in like many years. And so Brock is like playing this guy that's like trying to like, well, this is what's going on. And this is how, you know, like trying to be this voice of reason. But at the same time, that's what's so funny is that everybody on this show are complete fuck ups. Except yeah. for Ariana and potentially Katie at this point. And that's why they're not even in Tahoe, because they would almost ruin the fucked up nature of everything going on in that house.
I think you're on to something, because I think Ariana, like, you know, she's going to get to a point where she's just going to become a real celebrity. And once you become like a real celebrity, you can't, it's like the Bethany Frankel problem, right? Like, once you elevate above the show, and then eventually you kind of have to move on from the show, yeah. right? But yeah. I am the producers, I think I'd rather have Sandoval on the show, because yes. like that's where like Ariana, there's nothing like fun about somebody just getting better, you know?
Yeah, and like standing up for their emotional values. You're like boo. Okay,
that's like good. That's a good episode, but that's not like a season. You know, like, Sandoval's going to keep giving. Like, Sandoval's going to be the gift that keeps on giving.
I mean, you're totally right. Like, you know, even with, like, that New York Times article that you brought up earlier, he just says so many stupid things that you're like, how's he going to get out of this one? How is he going to try to emotionally betray his friends? And, like, that's what's so funny is that Sandoval's fucked up so many times, and yet he still thinks people owe him apologies.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
It's what you want. Yeah. Like, if dude, how boring would this be if he was just, like, if he just owned it, like, the show would be over. And like, cause eventually if somebody owns something, like, you know, like,
it's over, game over.
Yeah. Like, I like, well, look, I passed like over 10 years ago, I cheated and I owned it. And then, you know, like, some people were pissed, but then there were people like, all right, well, he freaking owned it. And there's nothing like more you can talk about, you know, like, all right, well, it's over. But him not owning it, like, is perfect for the producers, cause it keeps that through yeah. line going through that season, you know, through this season.
But it is interesting because they are like nearing or in their 40s, and it's very interesting to see the same behavior that we championed in their 20s going into their 40s. And it's just that they're richer, they have houses, cars, bills to pay. And I think that's the really scary thing where you're like, this is like a horror movie at times, because they all depend, like, they all made money off of Scandoval. Like, they all made money. So Sandoval thinks in some ways they owe him apologies. What is your thoughts on Lala? She's the one that's like, you ain't my mama, you ain't my daddy, you can't talk to me like that.
No, she's the one, she left her husband, the father of her kid,
Randall Emmett. Yeah.
Yeah. He kind of had like a tryst with two girls. And then
he had many trysts. Like, a lot of shit came out. Like, the two girls is where he got caught, but there was a lot of other women along the way.
He kind of looks like a better looking version of the really short fat guy from 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah. Big Ed.
Yeah, he's like a better looking version of Big Ed. I do like her. Part of it too is like, I will say it's like her and Carl, like from Summer House, they seem to have like real recovery. So that's kind of cool to watch. I guess I like her. But it's so funny because you guys are so enmeshed in the show. And I don't know the history. We're like, apparently, like everyone in the cast has been rat fucking each other for the last 9 seasons. So it's like, anytime I start to like someone, my wife would be like, yeah, but you kind of fuck somebody over in season 4. Like, there's,
by the way,
like, hard.
You guys, there's actually a great bit in Dance Fatty Dance, the comedy special you can find now on YouTube, where you talk about your wife even ruining sporting events for you because she'll like point out, like, that dude's a rapist. That day, that guy that got tackled, that guy killed somebody. And I thought, I just
want to wear my Lawrence Taylor jersey and not read his Wikipedia page, Sarah. Come on.
But you're right. These people have been rat fucking each other for so long. So even Lala, who you say I like her, I could tell you 10 things that I think Lala did that was really shady. But it's so funny because she is so good on television and she has such a big ego and she knows how to communicate where, like, if she fights with Tom Sandoval, it's game over because that guy can't string 2 sentences together, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, he seems to be degenerating in front of our eyes, too. You know, the whole Vanderpump Rules. Have you ever seen Escape from L.A., the sequel to Escape?
Yeah, Kurt Russell. Yeah, yeah.
Kurt Russell. You know the part and Bruce, I think Bruce Campbell's.
The surgeon?
Like, yeah. There's like a plastic surgery cult that's in L.A. where they like just like grab people off the street and like rip their faces off. Like, that's what like the Vanderpump Rules like. Kind of reminds me of like, we're like this like weird like creepy matriarch Lisa Vanderpump is like the Spider Woman in the back. It's very macabre. It's interesting. I enjoy watching it, but I think that I enjoy watching it because I started watching this already thinking it was a freak show, and I think some people
took it seriously.
Yeah, I have like been betrayed by these characters. That's what it is. I don't have any connection to Tom and Ariana's betrayal. All I see is just like, oh, this guy's like king of the douches, and it's hilarious.
Oh, I mean, I was so in deep, as well as so many of us out there. It was like literally like he cheated on me, and that's where it's like I got to go out and touch grass because this is really ridiculous. But it was so funny. Like, my mom was dying at the time. I was watching this every week and I was livid. I was pissed about so many things. And I was like, this fucker, man, this fucker. And it's hysterical because none of us watching this even look at our own behavior. We're just like, this asshole. And he is an asshole, but it is funny because we're all kind of assholes, just not to that extreme.
He's bad, but it's also like, I mean, I remember like the news about him was released and then a week later, some of the names on the Epstein list were released, and I'm like, I think people are more upset about Sandoval. You know,
well, to be fair, Sandoval might have been on that list. We do not know yet.
In that case, I think he was one of the victims. In that case, but like, he's. I just look at him as this like kind of cartoon character, you know. And I'm here for it, man.
Well, they all came out to L.A. to be actors, musicians, all of this stuff, and they wound up on reality television. So that's already some kind of weird lottery that, like, they all wanted to be this, and they became this other thing. And so now they lean so hard into this because, like you said with Bethany Frankel or Ariana, is that, you know, only a handful of them ever get to reach that upper echelon of mainstream celebrity. If not, they have to now try to figure out the rest of their lives, because at this point, Tom can't go get a job at Kinko's or like office. Like, you know, he can't go get a regular job at this point.
I mean, he's too famous. I mean, I did have, when I was at LA Fitness, when I was like in LA, like writing on a show, I had like a personal trainer. And it was like one of the guys from The Real World. So it's like there is a reality. Like, you could do like one season and I think just then have a normal job. But he's like too famous to have a normal job again.
Yeah. So it's like Tom in accounting. He was the guy that was on Vanderpump Rules for 11 seasons. And now he's in our HR department. Now, Summer House, you know, it's interesting because I think these two shows, they're on in the same week. And for me, I can watch Summer House and I can enjoy it so much more than Vanderpump Rules because I was in way too deep with Vanderpump Rules. But, you know, we're 3 episodes into Summer House. Have you watched all 3 episodes or did you just watch this week?
I've watched all 3 episodes. I've been watching that show since season 5. So I'm all caught.
Okay. So we're in season eight now.
The last season I watched was like the Hannah Burners when she left.
She's a stand-up. Do you bump elbows with her on the road ever?
We don't traverse the same circles, but I haven't been. I've watched for about five seasons now. I do think it's interesting because I do think Carl's like a genuinely good guy, and maybe I'm wrong. Like maybe I'm hooked. Like you were hooked with Sandoval, and like in two season when we find out like Carl's part of an organ trafficking operation or something, I'm gonna feel betrayed. But like I actually think Carl's a pretty good guy. Knock on wood.
Yeah,
and I'm sure I'll be disappointed at some
point. Well, listen, we're guys, so we all have done something completely idiotic, but you're right. Yeah. Like he seems so committed and proud of his sobriety, and that's why he really was. And I think the audience was kind of shocked when Lindsay, feeling, you know, weirdness about being in the summer house, immediately says, "You're on something, cocaine Carl, all of this stuff." Of course you would be so livid because that's the one thing that he's like tried to get right. And he finally feels like he had, and this is the number one person in his life. That's like really painful. And it kind of, we finally get a little context of why he eventually breaks off this relationship.
Yeah. Well, I think after watching this week's episode, I think Lindsay has some undiagnosed personality disorder, because there's a moment on this week's episode, and you can see it, where Danielle kind of is like, "Do you want me at the wedding?" to Lindsay. And you can tell that pisses Lindsay off, but she doesn't register it. And then two scenes later, she reveals Danielle's secret. She's like, "Danielle is the one who leaked that shitty story to you." She's like, I'm like, oh, you're
throws her under the bus to Paige in the kitchen, throws her directly under the bus.
And Paige throws it away. Paige doesn't seem to care, but it seems like she's like, okay, now I'm going to get everybody to hate fucking Danielle. But the problem is that I've watched this show long enough now that Lindsay has been shitty to so many people on that show that she has nowhere to go. So like, she's going to be the ultimate villain this season, because Carl was her last bastion of someone rooting for her. And once that's gone, she's going to have to go to a new show.
Everybody loves Carl to it. Like, and everybody roots for him, even with all of his like fucked upness, and everybody's kind of always been against Lindsay in certain ways. And I'm a huge Lindsay fan, but at the same time, it's hard to defend some of these things because it's the same behavior we've seen from Lindsay. And it's like, I hope she's watching this back and is actually learning something from watching herself on this, because it's like, of course somebody would potentially not want to be with you if you are questioning the one thing that is actually like they're proud of, because even Lindsay reveals in this episode, the guy can't get a job. He's like, he's got to find what he wants to do with his life.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I'm going to side with Lindsay on, as someone who doesn't drink, I do think a non-alcoholic sports bar is the worst idea I've ever heard in my entire life. I drink a Diet Coke at a bar, but I don't think there's going to be like a group of guys are like, let's go to watch the Colts game and drink virgin pina coladas. That's not going to work. So I do agree with her on that. I was like, this is a terrible idea. Carl's going to lose a lot of money on this idea. But she does it. She brings, you know, she's constantly bringing a gun to a knife fight. Right. So it's like, she can't just like gently like, you know, when you love somebody and they like have a dumb idea, you have to kind of like gently unwrap it and be like, is this really going to work? You know, you don't just go like, no, that's stupid. And her thing is just, no, that's stupid. So, you know, you see why this, you know, marriage is just going to completely fall apart, or this engagement.
And she's always been that direct, but it is sad when you're like, oh man, these guys are like headed to the they have a wedding website that was very intense. Like we see Danielle open their wedding website and it's like Lindsay and beautiful calligraphy. And then it's like Carl and like Danielle's shocked by the wedding website. I just think it's fascinating. And this is what reality television is great for, is that we actually get, it's like, we already know the Titanic sinks. So we get to see the things, like we get to see the icebergs, and like we all see it before they do. And we watch the dissolution of this, and it's captured on camera, which of course is horrifying. But now we're like realizing, oh, okay, this is exactly why this shit is happening, because of Lindsay's behavior towards Carl.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret. and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and she kind of tried to get in front of it too, because in between seasons, she was really like dumping on him and like going on different podcasts where she was like, you know, saying, you like, and I think she knew that this was going to be a bad season for her. So she's like, all right, maybe I can change the narrative before it starts.
And he kept quiet. He didn't say a thing. Like, he was actually let her go out and just do that, which in retrospect, I kind of think, well, that was really nice of him to let her do that. And just like, and also he wasn't out there with a shitty karaoke band like Sandoval. Next week's episode in the preview, she compares him to Tom Sandoval. She's like, this is like Sandoval. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, that's just like when you're in a political argument and you call the other side Nazis, like, you know, like both like Democrats and Republicans have called each other Nazis at different point, because it's like the ultimate go-to. It's either like, yeah, Nazis or pedophiles. Those are the two things like you call the other side. And then like, you can't argue. You're like, well, that's, yeah, the worst thing. So I can't argue with that. Sandoval's become reality Nazi.
Oh my God. Thank God the State of the Union, Joe Biden didn't bring up Sandoval or something, or Marjorie Taylor Greene was like, Sandoval, you know?
Biden makes so many like dumb social media moves that he would be like, all right, we got the cast of Vanderpump Rules. And they're like, great, you have Ariana, right? No, they like Sandoval, right?
Yeah, wait, Ariana, is that the good one? Oh, no.
Michigan now.
Also, we have Kyle and Amanda Batula on Summer House. And I will say, they're kind of like the sleeper mess of a relationship. We're all focused on Carl and Lindsay, but the first two episodes, these guys, like Amanda has seemed like she had it with Kyle. You know, I remember when they were first on the show, they were always getting busy in the bedroom. We don't even see them touch each other, or even like in this episode, he slept in a bed with West. Like, he just passed out in a bed with West. What do you think of Kyle and Amanda?
There's way more. Yeah, it seems like there's more sexual tension with him and the other bros in the house than there is, yeah, with her right now.
He loves his bro time. Yeah,
I have a take on this. I think that what happened, that Kyle is like a kind of like a puppy who keeps wetting himself, and now Amanda got really actually cute two puppies, two Dachshunds. So she has that. She has that part of her fulfilled already. Like that. She has a cuter. She has two cuter versions of Kyle's, and they don't get drunk and like play trance music at 3 a.m. They just go to sleep. So I think like now that she's got those two dogs, she's like, why do I have Kyle? Like, what's the point of having Kyle when I have these two?
That's the best thing you've seen. You're so right about that. And in this episode, he almost loses one of the dogs. Like, one of the dogs almost, and I was like, oh shit. Like, that's, by the way, that would end Summer House if all of a sudden one of the dogs is just gone. Like, there's, yeah, no coming back from a lost dog potentially on a reality show.
That's the only way that you could get somebody to hate someone more than Lindsay on that show is if Kyle loses one of those dogs. Then he would replace Lindsay. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No. Also, we have the two new cast members, West and Jesse Solomon. Jesse Solomon, we found out, only has one nut. He's a twice cancer survivor. And this West goes on a date with Sierra at the end of this week's episode. What do you think of the new guys?
I like West. I think everybody likes West, right?
Yeah,
West?
He seems fun. Yeah.
He seems like a normal guy. I mean, you know, like, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him and Sierra, right? Because Sierra's like this stunning model, and he's like, you know, a normal looking dude. So it's like, after they start dating, is he going to, you know, like, are they, I could see either of them getting bored with the other one, you know, like for different reasons. She could, yeah, just be like, I should be with a model. And he should be like, no, I need to be with somebody who, like, you know, has some sort of semblance of charisma. It's so bizarre. Sierra's like the, it's this weird thing where she's like super hot, and then you're also like, but is there charisma?
I feel like she's working up to charisma. Like, it's just still like, it's like almost her being around people with personalities has given her a little bit more.
She met like a little gnome in the woods, like when she was going through puberty, and he's like, I'll make you the most beautiful person in the land, but you won't have a personality. All right, I'll do it. And so she made that devil's bargain. The other guy, No Nut, he seems,
Jesse, yeah.
I mean, like, he's serving the purpose of being too aggressive with Paige so Kyle can feel better about himself by yelling. Like, there's always like at one point, like the last couple seasons where Kyle's like got on his moral high horse and be like, bro, you can't do this. And it's because like he's been like drunk and vomiting in a crock pot all season. But then he finds like one little area where he can be morally superior than the guys in the house.
Yeah.
He did that with Luke. I think he did that with like one of the guys from Southern Hospitality. Like, he always like, it's like it's his only way. Like, he talks about like, he's like, guys, seriously, it's about toxic masculinity. And you're like, where is this coming from? You fucking wino.
You know? No, he is going to have that scene with Jesse. And it's so funny because Paige in this episode says Jesse Solomon like touched her leg and that is inappropriate. You can't do that. And I was like, well, Paige, I don't think gets hit on a lot, which is like it seemed like that. And also Craig, she dates from Southern Charm, and she said Craig would stomp Jesse Solomon. And I was like, oh, Craig, I don't think Craig would stomp in. And Craig would be like, don't hit the face. Don't hit the face. Like,
Craig wouldn't do. I mean, you know, maybe if he stole an eight ball from Craig. I'm just joking. I don't know.
That's old school Southern Charm.
I don't think that would happen. No, the only guy on both shows, the only guy who I think could really throw down and fight is Sheena's boyfriend, that rugby guy,
Brock. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, that guy could actually do some damage, you know?
Dude, he could crush anybody with those thighs. Like, yeah. I got big thighs, but he's got muscular big thighs.
He looks like a convict, you know? He looks like a role Ed Hardy would play in an indie movie coming out. That's the only guy I think is actually physically intimidating on this show. And of course, that's the one I've talked the most shit about on this episode. So maybe that'll be the one.
Perfect. I can't wait to introduce you guys. I'm going to tag him in one of these clips. It'll be great.
Okay. I think I'm going to stay on the periphery of that celebrity scene. But yeah, I don't know. Like, Paige has this kind of thing where, you know, she really does. It almost feels like the old studio system where, like, she comes out for her scenes. Like, she's almost like Lucille Ball coming out for her scenes. And then she goes back in her room and, yeah, like, you know, does whatever she wants to do for, like, because she doesn't really interact unless it's time for her in a scene. Like, you never just see her, like, kind of
hanging out.
And everyone gave her shit for that. But it's kind of the smartest thing to do, right? Like, that's, yeah, like, how you preserve yourself. Like, she's like, okay, I'm going to come out, you know, for my storyline scenes, and then I'm just going to retreat back. You know, she's actually acting like somebody who's in like a pretty happy relationship where she's like, I'm just going to come out for my work and then I'm going to go back and hang out.
Which, I mean, everybody says that her and Craig won't make it to the altar. They're not even engaged yet. But I think they're actually going to totally make it, because it does seem like that is a solid relationship that they actually like will have like an argument or a conversation. And I think those are usually planned out between the two, because it's like the same conversation and again. But I think they are totally into each other. And I think they both like being reality stars, and they both like, they know they're more powerful together.
Yes. So I think that, and I think she's kind of, I think also she looked at Hannah's arc and was like, all right, I can be bitchy, but I can only get too bitchy. I can fly, but I don't want to fly too close to the sun.
So yeah, I never forgave Hannah for that, the Luke season. I don't know if you watched that Luke when she freaked out on Luke.
Yes, I remember this. So I think Paige has this thing where she's very smart, and she'll take a dig, but then she'll come back. And she'll take a dig. I'm posing to Lindsay, who's just like, tomahawk, I'm going to throw everything at you. Like, Paige picks her spots, you know? And because of that, I think that, like, the next incarnation of the show, like, I think Paige is going to be around for a while. I think she's going to be the one that's going to make it through.
Oh, so I think, and I also think there's a possibility, like Ariana and Bethany, that she goes to that next level of celebrity because she has all of these other things going on. Like she has the podcast, all of this stuff. So I think she actually is that, and she's not, like you said, Lindsay throws those tomahawks. She allows herself to be that vulnerable and potentially look like crazy on TV, where you're right, Paige actually takes notes and dials it back and is like very middle of the road, and she can go higher and lower, but always course correct.
Yeah, Lindsay's very messy and Paige is like a silent assassin.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, well, and Danielle, Lindsay's friend, you know, or Lindsay's ex-friend that they're trying to rekindle the friendship, even though Lindsay throws her under the bus in this episode. Danielle, I talked to her last week on this podcast, and I said, it seems like she's one of those people that is used to being the friend. And when she steps into the spotlight, it's really sloppy because she was on a show called Winter House.
I saw that. I've seen every Winter House too. So, yeah, you know, Danielle was kind of hard to watch on Winter House, man.
It was a little
desperate. And it's one of these things where clearly she's like heartbroken. Oh, she's also does this pet peeve that like every girl in a breakup does, where she's like, oh, this guy was gaslighting me. Oh, this guy was gaslighting. She like says gaslighting over and over again when you're like, okay, man, maybe some of it was gaslighting. Maybe some of it is you're hurt and you came on too fucking strong. Maybe some of that is what it is.
Well, and she told me she filmed that season. She left thinking it was a great season for her. She left going like, wow, I really killed it this season. And she was shocked when that's what actually came out. And I thought that's got to be the worst part of being on reality television, is really not dialing in to what the audience is going to pick up on about your behavior.
And I'll say this too. Like the first thing that I ever did in show business, I was on this like MTV reality True Life thing. And I was so...
Wait, the docuseries True Life?
Yeah, The World of Jenks. Do you remember that show?
Dude, yeah. I had Andrew Jenks on the podcast a couple months ago. Yeah.
Dreamy Eyes. I was on World of Jenks, and I was so paranoid that I would only let them see certain things. I was very clear to not come off like a dick. But because of that, I don't like some people, like comedy fans like it, but it wasn't good. Like, I don't think reality fans would have liked it because I didn't really show ass the way that you need to show ass on these shows, you know?
Warts and all, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why like Danielle and Lindsay are such great characters, because like what they think is like them looking good is actually like completely exposing themselves, you know. And when you do that, it's like it's great for us, but you know, I get it. Just like it seems like Danielle's just one of those ladies who like, especially on the show, where she'll be like, "I single girl summer," and it's like, "No, you want a boyfriend. We all know you want a boyfriend. You just want a normal boyfriend. You're still heartbroken." And it's like she seems cool. She's pretty. She has like a great job, you know. Like so, it's like she's smart. She's actually one of the people who seems like she hasn't got, you know, and she just seems like totally fucking insecure. That's her problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And which is very relatable to so many people that watch it. So that's why it's like, I get what's going on. The Sandoval thing too, is that back on Vanderpump Rules, that was the argument they had on the boat between him and Lala. He's like, I've shared everything on this show. You've hidden, like, oh, you haven't shared your life. And that's what it's so funny is when you start getting these meta fourth wall breaking arguments about what we've shared on the show. Like, you know, and that's the funny thing on Vanderpump Rules has been on so long that they're now talking about what they've hidden through the years and not shown on camera.
And always what makes me laugh is like thinking that like right next to these guys is a producer or a key grip with like a black t-shirt on and sweatpants and like queso stands from the craft service table. And they're just like tired, you know, they're just exhausted. Yeah. Cause I know production life. You know, and they just have that like 5 o'clock shadow, you know, so it's like probably the real trauma is from these people shooting these realities.
Yeah. Well, that's what I always said, like there were certain scenes in old Real Housewives where they were like doing like romantic bathtub scenes where like a guy would light candles. And I was like, I was just thinking of the poor cameraman in cargo shorts going home that night to his family going, oh man, I had to watch people dry hump each other in a tub and I had to capture it. And like, and the thing is, everybody says like Scandal and all that stuff. Oh my God, it was so fake. It was so scripted. And I'm like, you guys, you gotta, at the end of the day, they're not thinking about it even as intensely as we are. It's their job. Like, they're literally going like, I've got to film this. We've got to put like story segments together and get the fuck out of here. They're not writing up scripts. They're talking about possibilities. But at the same time, this is just a day job for these people.
And all these producers know, like we talked briefly about Villain House, you know, like when Omarosa accused the girl who ended up winning, I've heard her name, of hitting her. And like, and she didn't, you know, like they went back and they looked at the footage and it was like she like brushed up against her. But all these producers know that she didn't, but they still have to go through these hours of fucking, you know, Omarosa calling her agent. And like, you just have to sit there and watch this fucking slow motion car wreck, you know, like.
And most of these shows would stop if you would actually be able to use the footage they've already captured in the moment. You'd be like, we can clear this up real quick. Like, that's why it's so funny, is that like, guys, we have this on film and they still allow all of this stuff to continue. You also, well, I mean, first off, actually, how did you get into stand-up? Like, was that always the dream? Like when you were a kid?
No, I think that at times I've wanted to be like, you know, a legitimate like writer guy, I think more than anything else. And I have written on a bunch of shows. You know, I wanted to be a playwright in college. Like, I had a play produced. And then when I got out of college, I didn't get into playwriting grad school. And I was kind of like, I got into like, and I didn't like acting that much anymore. So, but I knew I was a decent enough performer. So I was like, well, let me just like perform. Where's something where I can just perform every night and like test shit out? And like, stand up seemed like the perfect marriage of like writing and performance, you know? And it was very much, you know, stand up like is more like a sport. It's like cerebral, opposing to like, you know, acting, you're like losing yourself in the moment. And stand up, it's like, no, like I'm in control, you know? Like, so like, I kind of like that aspect of it. And then I realized like, there's still the biggest high in the world is, you know, writing a new bit and it working, you know, like that's better than anything else. And having that, you know, and being able to jump into that, you know, that was like, you know, if I'm an actor, I always have to rely on someone casting me or production. If I'm a writer, I have to always rely on someone staffing me or putting up my work. But with stand up, I can kind of create my own luck. So that's what attracts.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt about podcasting. But with stand up, you have that audience to deal with. And that to me is the scariest part of all of it, you know, because I would imagine, are there still nights that you just completely bomb?
Yeah. And especially now I'm building up, you know, this special's out. So it's like, I'm trying to build up a new 45 minutes or an hour. So it's like, you know, I have 20 minutes of it, but I got to add in another 25 and then I'm going to get that one up and then I'm going to have to build up again, you know? So
like tonight, are you going to try out new material tonight?
Hopefully it's going to be all new from the special. Yeah. From nothing that was on the special. So I filmed the special last June. So hopefully this will be all new tonight. And I'm only doing like 25 minutes. So that should be fine. And also it's like, you kind of change as a person too. Like, you know, like I look at all my bits from my 20s and stuff. And it's like, so much of it is about like, dating's rough, you know, like, and it's like, I'm not that guy anymore. You know, so
marriage is rough.
Yeah, marriage is rough, you know. But people don't, they're like, oh, you're gonna talk about marriage, you're gonna talk about dating. I'm like, yeah, I'm a person. I'm gonna talk about like one of the fundamental things in your life, which is having a romantic companion. You know, it's like everybody said like airline material was terrible, and then Louis had that amazing bit on Conan about sitting on an airplane, and everyone's like, oh wow, okay, this is good again, you know. Like, so I think that like that's kind of, you know, like it's finding a way to like take that normal human experience and not make it hack, you know?
Yeah.
Having said that, I've definitely, like, I got a YouTube comment today where it was like, I posted some video. This is like from an old special. And somebody's like, I've heard this bit a million times before, but keep trying. And I was like, so thank you for adding the positive keep trying, you know? Like, I really just thought you were shitting on me, but it turns out, you know, you're
encouraging.
Robin Williams in the Good Will Hunting movie of my stand-up career, you know?
Well, people don't realize how much hard work goes into all of this. I mean, you're in a hotel room right now. And my thought always with that is that like, with anything that I like, if I, when I used to act or like do plays or do theater, it would always be hanging over my head of like, I have to get up on stage later tonight and I would not be able to shake that the entire day. So I would have to live in that feeling. And, you know, it was great once you were on the stage, but it was hanging over my head the entire day. Where are you at in terms of like, is it so patent to you where you're like, no, I can totally throw it away, have a normal day? Or are you always thinking about like, eventually I'm on stage tonight?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm opening for Dan Soder, who's like one of the best comics in the country. His audience is awesome. The shows are already sold out. And his audiences love stand up. So like,
yeah,
it's like last weekend I was headlining at Dallas Comedy Club, and that was a lot more pressure because I was like, I was the end thing that they saw, you know, and I was making sure asses were in seats, you know. And when I have a lighter show, I'm like, oh, fuck, that's like pressure's on me. So in this particular weekend, like it's like I'm hanging out with one of my best friends and who's a great comic who already has an audience. This is pretty easy. But if I was like headlining, like, you know, that's a little bit harder. So it really just depends on the situation.
Yeah. I think a lot of us are, I like used to romanticize stand up because it was like, you would read all of these stories and books and like, you know, what it's like to be out on the road and like the audience interaction and how that can take you down or like elevate material. And now everybody's in the, I think the Matt Rife-ism of it all, of crowd work, yeah. You know, is like, that's the big thing now. Do you do a lot of crowd work?
It depends. Like tonight I probably won't because I don't have as much time when I'm headlining. I usually do like 5 or 10 minutes up front. I don't post a lot of crowd work because I think it's kind of cheap, but I do. I mean, I've posted one crowd work clip this year. Like in the year of 2024, I've posted one crowd work clip, but I understand why comics do it because it's a way for you to not burn material. But I'm just, you know, I'm kind of like, I'd rather somebody see a bit, you know, like that's just,
yeah.
Especially now, like I'm just trying to harvest eyeballs at this point, but maybe I should be, you know, I should be doing more crowd work and, you know, the stock lines and everything else. But yeah,
no, it just seems to be so much part of the conversation now. And I'm not a fan of Matt Rife. I mean, like, no offense to, you know, not, but like, it is interesting. They always just, you know, like this dude's all crowd work and wait till he actually has to like really, but anyways, you mentioned something at the very beginning about wrestling, that you watch pro wrestling. And I have a lot of listeners that are so into pro wrestling.
Oh, that's interesting.
Can you explain to me?
Podcast, guys, Wrestler Roasts. I'm on there every week with one really funny lawyer and two other funny comedians.
So it's called Wrestler Roast?
It's called Wrestle Roast. We used to do a wrestling roast every week, and then like we did that for like 2 years straight, and we're like, let's just talk about wrestling. I'm sick of the rest part of this, but we still have the name. So, it's very, you know, the reality world kind of reminds me of wrestling in the late 90s, where the guys didn't have like the filter that they do now. Now a lot of these wrestlers are super fucking savvy. Like in WWE, especially, like you see Cody Rhodes talk and you're like, are you running for like Senate? like everything just seems so calculated, opposing to like Lindsay, who's like, you know, acting like, you know, Shawn Michaels on pills in 1998, you know, like, so there is some bizarre parallels, but yeah, I'm an avid wrestling fan. Like I'll be watching SmackDown after the shows tonight.
But there is a reality show element to this, or I mean, it's characters and high, like big old characters, but they have the behind the mat footage where they're behind the scenes, you know, doing scenes with each other. The Rock came back a couple months ago, right?
And yeah, The Rock has been great coming back. The only thing that's annoying about The Rock now is that on Instagram, he's like breaking in the, like being like, no, I'm playing a heel character. And you're like, dude, just go with it. Like, just go with the thing. I know like your whole thing is like, you're an entrepreneur, but like, just wear this fucking hat for real. Like wear it for 100% right now. Don't be Dwayne, be The Rock, you know? that's like, but I find that like, there's not a lot of great reality WWE shows, you know, like I thought the Bellas was kind of boring. Like I tried to watch Love and Wrestling or whatever, the one with Bianca and Montez, and like they seem fine, but like, you know, again, because that company is so Like, there's so many dollars and cents, you know, attached to the Bianca Belair character that you really can't get into the nitty gritty of the person because they're going to be very protective. You know, there's still that WWE thing of like, I got to protect the business. And because of that, like reality shows and WWE, like that's why Beyond the Mat was Beyond the Mat's the best one of
these. The documentary.
Yeah, that was great. And it's also why as soon as it came out, Vince completely cut support from it. Like Vince McMahon originally WWE was going to like market this, and he saw this and he was just like, oh, I can't, we can't be a part of this. We did not know that what Vince was doing behind the scenes was way worse than
was it. So yeah, talk about Epstein logs. If you read the Vince McMahon stuff, you know, he's now had to like completely get divorced from the company that he helped create.
I mean, like, you know, I right now I'm actually, you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm developing this really fun show with Dan Soder and Stone Cold Steve Austin for Peacock. And hopefully it comes out, but TKO has nothing to do with Vince anymore. They just came out yesterday and they were asked about Vince, and it was a definitive, like, we don't know why he sold the stock this week, because we wouldn't know, because we don't talk to him and we have no idea what his moves are because he's not allowed in here. Like, it's clearly just like they are cutting that guy. They are just cutting the head off the snake. They're done with
it. And also, if you are doing that kind of shit, don't grow a pencil thin mustache all of a sudden. Like, he's like what a way to make yourself even look scarier. I was like, a pencil thin mustache on Vince McMahon.
Yeah. The only thing that wasn't surprising about Janelle Grant's deposition was like the part I was expecting to read a part where Vince tied her to train tracks, you know,
and then twirled his little pencil thin mustache.
You know what that was, that mustache? I really think that, you know, I don't know if the truth, but Vince has always been obsessed with being the Walt Disney. He considers himself a Walt Disney. I think he thought that if he grows this mustache, he's going to have this like patriarchal, like Walt Disney look. The problem is he had so much fucking Botox and plastic surgery that it just looks horrifying. It's just this.
Speak about the Bruce Campbell character in Escape from LA. I mean, it looked like Vince McMahon got caught by those people. Finally, if you have a couple more minutes, you did say you thought Salt Lake City was the best of this, like one of the best.
I do want to give my prediction what I think is going to happen with Vince, though.
Okay.
I think right now Vince is the reason he sold the stock. I think you're going to see Vince's final move is moving to Saudi Arabia, because he's already
ready. They would pay him
goodwill. Like, we have our country has a tortured relationship with that country. So like, there's extradition for what? We're not going to investigate him about 9/11. We're not going to get Vince back from Saudi Arabia here to face trial. That's not going to happen. So I think at the very end of Vince's life is he's going to be this very like opulent Saudi king in the middle of the desert.
Well, do you think he'll then start a new wrestling thing in Saudi Arabia, like they tried to do with golf with the LIV in Saudi Arabia?
You never say never. I don't think so, but you never, it depends on, look, I mean, there's a point, like TKO has already said that they're willing to, you know, like if things with Saudi Arabia get that bad, they won't do business with them. So if WWE is no longer doing business with Saudi Arabia, then perhaps, but Vince is old, man. So yeah. I don't know. I think that car's had a lot of miles on it. I don't think that guy can build up a business again. I just don't think that guy is.
But the ego, it's like reality stars. They have such a gigantic ego that in hit, like, you just never know where their head's at, because they're competitors and they think, fuck everybody, I did it once, I'll do it again. You know, the WWE has been through so many different iterations throughout the decades. So I don't know. I'd be curious. But it is, I mean, reading those court documents, though, it's like, it is wild. Of like passing that girl off to his friend. And I mean, like, the whole thing is wild. Yeah,
it's just very macabre and depressing.
Yeah.
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, brother. So Salt Lake City, you said it really was the craziest thing. I always compare it to a David Lynch movie because it was like so insane and all the characters were so extreme. And like, I don't even think they were really listening to each other ever, which was great. And so many big personalities. Why did you like it?
For all the reasons that you just listed, I thought that that was really fascinating that this reality show was also happening with this true crime You know, like what I'm blanking on the name now, but the woman who's in jail for 15 years, Jen Shah, like that this Jen Shah and like these two stories were happening at the same time. We were seeing a reality show and we were seeing an actual, you know, the actual, like, and they kept her going. They kept her on until the very end when they were, you know,
and now she's in prison and they talk about her throughout the season, but we have this other girl, Monica Garcia, whose big crime is she started a Finsta account against some of these other Salt Lake ladies.
The way they reacted to her, the reality Von Teese, they're treating her like Dr. Mengele. And like Jen Shah has gotten maybe a tenth of the shit reality Von Teese has gotten. And she's like, she was like bilking old people out of yes. their life savings. She
like was the government proved it. And they're like, right. Fuck this Instagram account. They said I look tubby in an outfit.
Yeah. Think about how much more shit Sandoval has gotten than Jen Shah. You know, I guess maybe it's one of these things where Jen Shah she's in jail. So like there's not the same vociferousness if it's like, well, she's doing 15 years, so she's been punished. Maybe that's the reason why. But it is really interesting. And I do think Mary Crosby. I think she's like one of the greatest TV characters ever. She's so crazy.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can't. What's great about her? I mean, you can't have her do real scenes with anybody because she's insane.
She's actually insane.
Yeah, like, but that's why you can only use her in small amounts. Like, she couldn't carry a show, but if you put her in there, she'll make fun of a couple of the other characters, even if they're riding a high. She'll call them ugly, and they'll be like, "Oh, I was doing so well." And they really—it's funny. It's like she's kind of
all of them.
Oh, totally. Totally.
She hate all of them and they keep her
around. Well, she'll flip on a dime too. She'll flip on a dime. So even these ladies, they don't want the person that created the Finsta account, but Mary Cosby, they do not have a choice. She's coming back next season. And I just think that's great that even if they're riding high, somebody can come in like Mary Cosby, say two words about them and, you know, they're damaged all of a sudden.
Yeah. And I mean, and then there's also the, you know, the element of it being in Utah and having like, the Mormon church is kind of a weird character and like weird.
Yeah. There's a backdrop of religion that the other shows don't have. Yeah.
Like, what's that John Krakauer book that they made into
Under the Banner of Heaven. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great book. The series was decent, but the book read the book. The book's amazing. So it's like it's this, like that there's that element that's in it too, where it's like, it's just this bizarre hodgepodge of, almost like the fancy modern and like the medieval primitive, like combined into the show. So I love it.
Yeah, no, I love it too. Thank you for doing this today. I know this. This isn't your jam, but you made everybody proud. You made your wife proud. You came. You showed up, folks. I'm going to put all of his information. His Instagram is dance.germain, DANST.GERMAIN. That has his YouTube link, which is that's where we're pushing everybody to. His new special is out now as you're listening to this. So go subscribe to his YouTube page. It also has his other stand-up special on there as well as tons of other clips, but he is also on the road. His website has all of his dates. He's also performing at this Moon Tower festival in Austin, which looks insane. I was looking at that lineup, like Amy Sedaris, like Andrew Schultz, Shane Gillis, like you're performing at that. That's going to be awesome.
A lot of heavy hitters on that one. So I'm excited for that.
Well, I really appreciate you coming by today, and I am a fan of yours now for life. I hope I get to meet you one day, and good luck.
Come over. We'll watch. We'll watch Finger Pump together.
Yeah, and then do a little wrestling thing.
I could do. I could do both. I mean, WrestleMania's around the corner. I'll hit you up.
Well, it's a plan. Thank you. All right. So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Mitza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies.
Betches.